Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop.
Down Gilead Lane.
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
Yes, the Coleraine Connection. This is Funcast number 39.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a couple episodes that maybe not as fun as others, but
my episode was really fun.
That's
true.
I
really need to say that because it's kind of been overshadowed by the not as fun one, but it was still a good episode.
That's true. Hey everybody, I'm Steve-O and that's Lori, and we work on this awesome radio show called Down Gilead Lane. You should check it out sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we are in the middle. We are exactly now in the middle of season 12.
Ooh.
Yeah, and kind of a big mid-season surprise, but we'll get to that. we've got two episodes to talk about, and the first one, Respect the French Toast.
You have to do it with the proper...
Respect the French Toast!
That's it. There you go. There was actually discussion on the blog
yes.
of you didn't even write the title correctly because you didn't put it
Sorry.
In all caps with
all caps.
With exclamation points. So Respect the French Toast.
Yes. Voted the favorite title by both you and me.
Yes.
Of the season.
So that's what makes it the favorite title.
Yes, because you have to say
just
it
one.
Forcefully. And this one was written by Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great episode, especially for those, you know, who like the romance.
Well, this is an episode I've wanted to write for a very, very long time. Mr. O'Dell can vouch for that.
That's true.
That I have been saying almost since I first started working on DGL that I thought we should have an episode about dating, and that I thought we should work and have two couples
mm-hmm.
and show the contrasts.
And notice that the people we portrayed as having a healthy dating life are in college.
They are.
Just thought I'd mention
Steve's
that.
The dad, and he needs to say that. I'm a mom, too, but but Steve's pretty virulent about these characters.
Wow, that's a strong word. I don't
They're
even know what
kids.
It means. So let's take a look at some of the reviews we got on Respect the French Toast.
There you go. I'm just going to let you say that from now on because it's so much cooler when you do.
What did the blog have to say?
On the blog, we had a lot of comments.
Yeah.
We had like 17 comments, which
nice.
Is really good. We were very happy about that. Dave said DGL has never shied away from tough issues, including depression and pornography and eating disorders. And he was pleasantly surprised that it appropriately dealt with purity before marriage.
Yeah.
And he was very happy that Caleb and Carrie were great examples of young people who want to live righteously. And, I mean, it was very obvious in this episode. This is Lori saying this now. It was very obvious in this episode that Tiffany and Randy don't care about that.
Not as much. No.
Not as much. They don't. They just don't see it as much. So
it's more about like feelings and just following
emotions.
Your emotions.
Getting caught up in the emotions.
Caught up. Good word. Okay.
And Dave is the one, by the way, who said Zach didn't give the right emphasis on the title. Respect the French Toast, which I thought that was funny.
Sorry. I should have had Zach. Deliver that differently. Sorry.
We also heard from Rendislow.
Renslow.
Renslow. I should just let you just say all the names from now on.
No, I'm sorry. I only make a big deal about that one because he made sure I got it right. So.
Right, and he hasn't made sure I got it right, so maybe he likes me more.
Probably.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But he gave it a 5 out of 5 for this episode. He loved the contrast between the two episodes. And he wants to see if Caleb and Carrie are going to get married someday. And it says, for once, I hope that Timmy's little prophetic dream was wrong.
So. Yes. Well, and we do need to mention that is a reference to your first episode, the holiday special, O Little Town of Coleraine.
Yes.
Where we kind of had like a... you know, a vision of the future, but it was all just a dream that Timmy had. So it's pretty much, you know, just not at all true. Even though we kind of like played it out and acted it out as a drama, we found out that it wasn't really true. It was all a dream. So,
mm-hmm.
So Caleb can marry whoever he wants to.
Yes, Caleb can marry whomever he wants to, and it doesn't necessarily mean that Mike and Anna are going to end up or whatever. I mean, it was a fictional episode.
And Justin and what was her name?
Emily.
Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no real Emily.
There isn't a real Emily, no. So we had that. That comment. We also had Daniel put one of his essays in. If you have not read any of Daniel's reviews on the blog, you need to go and read Daniel's reviews because it really is an essay.
Which is paltry compared to the one he wrote for 1206, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But one of the big things that he brought up is that it was wonderful to see a godly example of what real love is and what real love can be. You can really feel it a little deeper between Caleb and Carrie. And we got down to, there were some birthday greetings in there. Just needed to.
Oh, right.
that was part of the 17 comments. And Anna also said, just this week in chemistry, my friends and I were talking about relationships and stuff like that in class. And when I came home and listened to this episode again, it was a really great reminder of what a good Christian relationship should be.
Cool.
And it's really neat to see how people responded to it. Somebody somewhere in one of these comments also said that they loved the way that we were able to put the contrast in there without having to put a rating on it for parents to say this is going to be an appropriate episode for younger kids. We really were able to just kind of highlight that, and everybody gets it. And so that was a little pat on my back. I was kind of happy with that.
Yeah, that's a challenge. You know, you want to have something that's going to be relevant and connects with everybody out there in the audience. So that's a challenge, but that was cool. That was cool. I liked at the end how we kind of had that little moment between Haley and Maya, because we had spent so much time with kind of like the older kids. That was good. So, you know, we see Hope running around the yard with Tim and Mike, and, you know, we hear Haley and Maya talking about Carrie and all that. So that was kind of cool to kind of like bring it around full circle that way.
I have really, really enjoyed creating the character of Carrie and watching how Caleb has grown since her appearance in his life. Because before he went off to college, things were much different for Caleb, and it seems like she's really helped him gain some maturity and some understanding of what relationships really are. It's been fantastically fun writing these episodes and watching Caleb grow.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's great how God uses people in our lives. You know, God speaks to us through His Word, His Spirit, and His people, and it's just cool that the process of growth and discipleship doesn't happen in isolation. It just doesn't work up on a mountaintop by yourself.
That's right. I change you all the time.
I don't even know what that means.
I keep you on your toes, Steve.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what, three comments? How many we got to go?
Oh, well, that was just, I mean, I just gave a smattering. If you really want to see all of the comments, you're going to have to check out the Coloring Connection blog. And where can they find that, Steve?
They can find that at funcast.gileadlane.org.
Woo.
Yes.
There we go. We went into our radio announcer.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Well, I kind of like go into a slower pace because I have to, you know, bring it up on my screen and make sure I'm doing it right, because it seems like I always get it wrong if I'm not like reading it. So,
gotcha.
That was a little insider tip. If you have to delay, then go into radio mode, because then you can stretch it out.
Actually, I knew a radio announcer once upon a time when I was writing commercials for radio. Yes, this is a rabbit trail, but everybody will think it's fun, so go with me. Okay. When I was writing, that was a continuity director, is the person who goes from the salesperson to the announcers, so everybody knows. And I was a continuity director, and I had specific voices at the radio station that if I had to jam 45 seconds of copy into a 30-second commercial, I knew I could take it to Tim, because Tim was the only person who could still pronounce everything and make it sound really, really good. If I wanted it slow, I could go to Tom. And yes, there was a Tim and a Tom at the station that I worked at. And Tom had that radio announcer voice, you know. And so, so anyway, yes, if you go into radio announcer voice, some people it's slow and some people it's really, really fast. Like at the end of those commercials, you know, with the...
Where all the disclaimer stuff.
Yes, all the disclaimers have to come. Those people have to speak very, very quickly.
Yep. And they're often digitally assisted.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I worked in radio, I did voice tracks, but there wasn't as much digital assistance.
Back in the day, everything was magnetic.
So long
ago. Hey, so, everybody, that is the conclusion of Radio Announcing 101.
Everything you never wanted to know.
Your homework for next week will be to record yourself reciting a haiku for the mailbag.
Or a comment.
Record yourself in your best radio voice doing a haiku, a question, a comment for us, and we might just incorporate you into the next podcast.
And if you want to, go ahead and record it really, really fast and really, really slow, and it might be kind of fun.
we'll take the best pick
for you. So after 12:05,
yes,
everybody was just loving the episode, and then,
yes,
into 12:06, yeah, bum bum bum, and I actually put in the blog, in my entry, how can we possibly follow up an episode like Respect the French Toast? Make the Most will blow your mind. You'll have to listen to believe it. And
yes.
And that's the comment that I got, was, Lori, you weren't just cheesy, teasy marketing kidding us. That was a big episode.
Yeah. And just to clarify, so that we're accurate, the title was actually Making the Most.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, not a huge deal, but
I actually put it wrong in my blog thing, but Making the Most. Sorry, everybody.
That's all right.
And what are we making the most of?
Making the most of the time that you have. We're sort of referencing a passage from the book of Ephesians, where Paul basically says, you don't know how much time you've got, and in fact, all we do know is that time is short. So make sure that everything you do is done unto the Lord and out of love for others. I mean, that's my
Steve version.
Theological paraphrase. But that's the gist of what that passage is getting at. And so we wanted to hit that. That's actually been kind of our theme verse around here at CBH for this year of 2009. So it was kind of cool. It was unplanned, but as we were brainstorming, Terry just kind of reminded us, hey, that's what we're trying to remember here as a staff. So let's bring it into the story. So it was kind of cool. Tom, you know, just kind of like sensing the need to take the opportunity and to make the most of the time he has. And we find out sort of surprisingly why God has put that burden on him.
Yes, we do. And just a note.
Yeah.
Rodney is fine.
Yes, the actor that plays Tom, Rodney Tisla, he's fine. Had nothing to do with, you know, his health or how he's doing. It was just, how'd you say it, Lori? We just needed to go that direction.
It was the story. The story took us that direction.
Exactly.
It wasn't that that there's anything going on with Rodney and that we needed to write him out or anything like that. It was, and I think we're going to discuss this a little bit more. I just kind of felt like a real burden on my heart when a couple of the kids were asking if he was okay.
Right. Yeah, he's fine.
He's okay, and we'll talk more about that. But now we need to talk about the episode itself.
So we got a lot of reviews on that one, I'm sure.
We have a novel from Daniel.
Of course.
And the best part about Daniel, what I love about Daniel, is that the last paragraph, which is like longer than my last screenplay itself, starts out with, if you're still reading this, I feel sorry for you. You must have a boring life and not much else to do than to sit at the computer and read my very unique ramblings. So it cracks me up. But the first thing Daniel said was, we never gave you permission to do that. No wonder you said there would be no bulldozers, because you're phasing everybody out by other means instead.
Oh, that's not true.
No, it's not true, but I thought it was kind of funny. I thought it was a great way to put it. So I'm not laughing about Tom's death. We had a lot of comments about Tom's death, but I just thought it was a good way for Daniel to put it. And it was a very shocking turn of events. We admit that.
Absolutely.
we feel very strongly about Tom, and we talked about it for a very long time.
Yep.
Is this the best thing to do? Is this the right thing to do? Should we do this?
Yeah, it just felt like at this point in this last season, things needed to get serious. And I can't really say much more than that. But
when you get to the end of the season, you'll be able to understand a little bit more.
Right, right. Just where the plot needs to go to get us to the end. Things needed to start to kind of take a serious turn at this point. So anyway, we did not take the decision lightly, and we knew that it was going to be a shocker. And
to say the least, yeah.
Yeah. And like somebody wrote, I think, you know, even in the discussion of Respect the French Toast, you know, that we don't shy away, you know, from, you know, serious topics, and we try to, for the most part, reflect life. And the fact is, a lot of times you do not get a heads up when you're going to lose someone. A lot of times it is very sudden. And so we just want to be accurate to, you know, the human life experience and what happens for real in a lot of people's lives. So that's what we're going for.
That's what we're talking about here. Yep. So yes, we know that it was difficult. We did talk long and hard about it. Katarina did write that she was a little bit mad right now, and she said she'd come back later and talk.
Understandable.
She said she couldn't even talk because there was a sniff sniff.
Yeah.
You know, and Renslow.
Thank you.
Said he thought it was going to go completely differently. It wasn't like Mr. Key's death where we had a big buildup.
Right.
When Tom said that he wouldn't have Monica for very long at the beginning, he expected that he was prophesying Monica's jail time.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily his own part, you know.
Right.
And so he loves that we keep the show realistic and we aren't afraid of killing off main characters. Most shows would do everything that they could to keep the characters alive or young, even after the death of the actor. So so we appreciate that. We did get a really fantastic comment from Annie.
Okay.
Who says, I've been listening to DGL practically from the beginning, and I've followed the message boards and podcasts for several years, but I have never, ever commented before.
Cool.
And Annie said, I decided to finally do so on this one due to the fact it struck very close to home. My dad had his first heart attack just a few weeks ago.
Oh my.
And this episode was very, very, very realistic. It says, unless I miss my guess, Mr. Fornoff must have had some sort of experience with this type of situation in order to write the episode so accurately. It's really fantastic. She goes on for a little ways, but she ends it by saying, thanks for the tearjerker.
Wow.
Which I thought was really, really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We also heard from Rosie12.
Okay.
Who was very upset that Caleb was just about to ask Carrie to marry him.
Huh.
And then he got the news. And there's a lot of no's, and there's a lot of exclamation points in Rosie's thing. Terribly, terribly shocking. She says she's been listening this whole season, but this is the first time I've been able to post because of the episodes.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really good one.
Well, I'm not so sure that we know for sure what it was that Caleb was going to
ask. I don't think we do know that.
I mean, he may have, but I'm not sure he's at that point yet. So all I'll say is just keep listening.
Yeah, because you never know what we're going to do. Obviously, this episode proved that you never know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it also proved that Steve and Laurie can keep a secret really well, because we've podcasted how many times, and it hasn't even once slipped before Tom dies.
That's true.
Anything like that. Anna wrote, I would have rather had Tom die after the episode where he was a monster and Brooke hated him. Then it wouldn't have been so sad, because the bad guy would have been dying and not the good guy.
Mm.
And the Peace of Heaven people should have died, because they're the ones who should have gotten bulldozed.
Oh, wow. Strong emotions there.
Very strong emotions. Also, the Morrisons really, really like food, because they always invite people over to eat. You know, the cookouts at the park, the chili before the football games, the party where they invited the bulldozer men, and now John invited Tom to eat lunch with them.
Huh.
I think that's really funny. But last night I went to a meeting at my church, and we were talking to the ladies of the church, and Good Fellowship always has food Well, I mean, we have a lot of...
Well, there's something, you know, going all the way back to, you know, like ancient times in the Bible. You see, hospitality is all about, and reconciling is all about breaking bread together.
Exactly. That's what
there's something to that. There's, I don't know, I'm sure, you know, a literary motif, but there's also a historical motif where, you know, there's something indicated in a relationship when you're at the point where you... You have a meal together. You provide nourishment for someone. There's something nurturing about that. So anyway, yes. I mean, I could break it down and analyze it, you know, but I won't. So let's go on.
Kat loves to write, commented, uh-huh. and said, Tom has always been my favorite character, even when the first episodes I ever heard of Down Gilead Lane were before he became a Christian.
Huh.
So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Never have I ever cried that hard while listening to Down Gilead Lane.
Aww.
Kat Loves to Write is saying, I still am trying to figure out how many stars that I should give to this episode. And that was a pretty common theme.
Yeah.
People loved it and they hated it. I mean, they loved the realism, but they hated that Tom died.
Right, right.
And I thought it was really, really, really well. And finally, the 5 was decided on.
Oh,
on that one. 5.
Hooray for that.
It isn't a fake fairy tale show. It's honest and it's loving. So I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Dave suspected right from the beginning that Tom was going to die.
Oh, wow.
Dave is our Gilead guru.
Can't get nothing past Dave.
No, we can't. And Dave gave it 3.5 stars out of 5.
Okay.
And there's some discussion on here about Monica becoming a Christian. If you want to check that out, you can go to the message board and check that out. We've got people discussing, should she become a Christian? How should she become a Christian? Things like that. You want to check that out?
Wow.
And Katarina did come back. Remember I said she couldn't write right now?
Yes.
She did comment on it and say, I commented on this episode already, but now that I've calmed down, I think the happiest and most perfect ending would be the whole DGL cast of characters arranged at Caleb and Carrie's wedding, but I'm still really mad at John Fornoff.
Oh, well, it's not John's fault. Please don't.
It's not John Fornoff's fault. And really, I think John did an incredible job on this episode.
Yes.
Mama Sanders wrote and said, my children were a little bit scared by this episode because Mama Sanders has been fighting heart issues now for the past 2 years, and everybody in their family was really upset when they were listening. But she ended it by saying, thank you so very much for having a very real eye-opening storyline every week.
Hmm. Yeah, cool.
So, and we have more comments from Daniel.
Oh, okay.
There's more stuff. Kat Loves to Write came back again. I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on this episode. somebody, Lisa, said, I appreciated the message, though I didn't like that Tom died, but it was a tough one. Thanks for not trying to delve into the afterlife.
Oh.
And still having a hard time figuring out how everything can be wrapped up in 6 more episodes.
Right.
And that was her comment. She gave it 4.5 stars out of 5. There's a lot of discussion happening on the blogs. If you are not a part of that, you really need to go check it out and see what other people are saying. Cause I know after I watch a movie or read a book or listen to, you know, something, I say, wow, I really wish I could talk to other people about it. This is where you can talk to other people who love the show just as much as you do.
Yep. Yep. And you can share your theories and you can steal one another's theories and sound like you know what you're talking about.
And you can debate and discuss and, it's very good. So you want to go to the blog and that address, Mr. O'Dell.
Funcast.gileadlane.org.
Mm-hmm.
Go so there and you'll see. The first thing you'll see is the list of all of our podcasts, which would answer one of the email questions that we'll be dealing with in a minute after we open the mailbag. But then you'll also see a little menu item at the top that says The Blogs. And if you go there, then you can... read blogs that Lori and I do that we try to update whenever we can, but also people's comments on the actual like review blog entries, which Lori has faithfully done all season. Thank you so much, Lori.
You're very welcome.
Once you go there, then you can make a comment yourself, and it can be a response to someone else's comment. It could be all your original thoughts and ideas or whatever, as long as it is relevant, to the episode being discussed. So is that all the review stuff from these two shows?
I think that's all the reviews that we can fit in this podcast. Yeah. If you want to read more, just go to the blog because there are more comments.
Definitely.
And we definitely just kind of glossed over.
Right.
If I read all of Daniel's stuff, I would still be reading tomorrow.
It would be a 3-hour podcast, if not longer. Okay, so I think that brings us to the point of our next segment, right?
Yes, what is our next segment?
Oopsie doo, now stomp your shoe. The male haiku.
And there you go. So that was Captain Cal telling us what this next segment is. Before we open the mailbag, of course, like he said, we've got to read that haiku. And we got another submission from one of our listeners. Yes.
We love that.
Yes, this is awesome because it means we don't have to write or read a haiku. And we get to hear more voices than just Steve and Laurie. So,
we like hearing from you.
Yeah. So Austin sent us this haiku. I'm going to let him take it away. Go for it, Austin.
Meteor Guy will save the day every time with Dough Girl right behind.
All right.
Thank you, Austin. Very cool.
Yes, that was a great haiku. Okay, so I got, quite a few letters here, and a lot of them do have to do with episode 6, the death of Tom and everything. But there are a few that are just kind of like general questions. This one's good. Daniel from Pennsylvania has a couple of very insightful questions, which tell me he's got a good ear for radio. First of all, he says, check this out, Lori. Hey, stupendous Foley guy Steve and fantastic writer Lori.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. He goes on to say, I love the podcast and love DGL. Now, he asks, did Beth Klima get married and become Beth Culp, or were they two different writers? No, that was the same writer. She was also the creator, co-creator of Down Gilead Lane. And when we started, she was a single lady, Beth Klima, and halfway through, she got married and became Beth Culp. And that is the big part of why she is no longer working on the show, because she had to leave the area and go start a family and raise a family, and she's doing that now very happily. But yes, her name is now Beth Culp. Next question that Daniel asks, who played Stanley? The actor sounds a lot like Justin. I feel like Daniel may be listening to old episodes of Gilead because Stanley made an appearance, I believe, back in season 6.
Right.
Yep. And again, great ear, because the actor at that time playing Justin, a guy named Christopher, his brother, in the part of Stanley. Yes. So that actor is not the same actor that plays Justin, but the brother of that person. Now, check this one out. Same guy. Daniel says, who was the lady who played Sally the waitress? She sounds a lot like Brooke.
Huh.
Wow. That was the sister of the girl who plays Brooke. Lori Heckman,
awesome,
who plays Brooke and has played Brooke since the beginning, her sister, Alicia, worked for CBH Ministries, and every once in a while we'd call Alicia in to do some, little character parts, some bit parts, and one of those that we kind of fell in love with was Sally the waitress. So, wow, great job, Daniel.
That's fantastic, Daniel. And of course, you're from Pennsylvania. You're representing well.
That's true. Yes, I lived a lot of my life in Northeast Pennsylvania, and you come from the Pittsburgh area, right?
Just above Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next email. This one is from Rebecca, who describes herself as DGL's biggest fan.
Ooh.
Whoa. She says, I cried like a baby when Tom died. It was such a shock. I think Mr. Fornoff did a very nice job writing this episode, and I can't wait to see what kind of impact it will have on Tiffany and Monica.
I agree.
Great job. This is one of my favorite seasons.
Ooh,
wow.
That's big.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca, for that. That is awesome. And then, can I just keep on rolling through these?
You just keep right on going. All right. I rolled through all the comments. You rolled through all the emails.
Susan asks, well, actually, she just says, one thing confused me. I thought TPA was for strokes, not heart attacks. Do I have that mixed up? Another comment, shock, but great show. Just the word shock in all caps,
yes,
and four exclamation points. But great show. Can't wait to find out what comes next. Woo. John Fornoff did his research on TPA. That is initials for some kind of really long medical word. I think it's an enzyme of some kind that dissolves blood clots, and it is used in heart attack cases. I believe it's used in a number of applications. Strokes, pulmonary, I don't know, I can't think of the right word, but yeah, when you have blood clots in really, you know, vital areas like your lungs, your heart, your brain,
right.
TPA is used in all those applications. So anyway, and then let's see here. We've got one from Heather who says, oh, this is interesting with the question we had from Daniel. Are any of the actors and actresses related to one another in real life? So, yes, we do have those little bit parts. Stanley, played by the actor who was the brother of the guy who played Justin at the time.
Right.
Sally, the waitress, the sister of the girl who plays Brooke. And then we've also got, well, of course, Roger and Jill, who play John and Mary Morrison. They're married in real life. Their son, Andrew, is the actor who plays Luke Taylor.
Oh. The things you learn.
Yes, yes. And, of course, as we have all also highlighted in the past, the actor who plays Timmy Morrison, or Tim Morrison, I should say now, he is also the real-life brother of Lori, who plays Brooke Morrison. So,
not me, Lori.
No, Lori Hackman. Actually, she's now Lori Krieg because she's married. So, yes, Lori and Nate, their brother and sister. And so there's, yes,
there
another family connection there.
Your inside, behind-the-scenes Scoopy.
Right. Okay, another question. Danielle asks, how do I listen to other Down Gilead Lane podcasts? I want to listen to more than just this week's, but I don't know how. Well, like we just mentioned a minute ago, if you go to funcast.gileadlane.org, you will see right there a list of all of our podcasts, the most recent ones at the top. But if you scroll down, you can kind of move backward through time and listen to us. And if you want to listen to them in order, then you need to scroll to the bottom and download them in order like that. But
right, but you can listen to all the ramblings of Steve and Lori are available and at your disposal for your entertainment.
That's right, that's right. And I think if you subscribe through iTunes, there's a running archive of them there as well.
It runs along next to you while you... Never mind.
If you go out for a jog, it'll be right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Bailey asks, how did you choose the names for DGL? Are there really a family called the Morrisons?
I think there are.
Yeah. Well, Morrison is a pretty common surname if you're in England. But there actually is a family that when Beth was creating the whole story, she kind of based the Morrisons on some friends of hers that she grew up with called the Morrisons. I'm pretty sure the mom and dad have different names, but there is a Haley, there is a Justin. I know that much. So anyway, it's loosely based on a family that the co-creator of Down Gilead Lane grew up with.
Yes. And yeah. Some of the people who... that I have named are people that I just couldn't figure out names and went, oh, right. Well, I haven't talked to that person in a long time, so I just stick them in there.
Wow, okay.
There's a real Brad Keller.
I hope you don't get in trouble for that.
I don't think so, because I know them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I don't know if people even remember who Brad Keller is.
Right. That takes us back to, I don't even remember myself.
The Gilead Guru doesn't remember. We'll see if anybody does remember. Post that on the blog if you do.
There you go.
We'll hit that for next week. But
little trivia question for you. Who was the character Brad Keller? What was the part that he played in the history of Down Gilead Lane?
I could tell you, Steve, but then we'd have to edit the podcast.
Right, right. So I'll wait and see what people tell us. Also, just when we're talking about names, there are some significant names that have symbolic significance, like Grace. And Hope. So,
We really did mean those names to have
to embody that quality. Right, right.
And really, having names like Grace and Hope have been really fantastic for our titles, too.
Yes, that's so true. All right, Alana asks this question. We were wondering, why did you have to let Mr. Richter die? Sniff, sob, cry. Yes, I know it's sad. It's especially after this long, it's like losing, a real person in your life. So we definitely want to be sensitive about that. you know, like we discussed when we were kind of like responding to people's reviews from the blog, there are reasons. It's not just we are cruel and we don't care. That's not it at all. One thing is that we always want to, you know, reflect real life,
right?
And be honest about, you know, that there is grief.
It really does happen at a young age sometimes. I had an uncle who passed away quite early, and it was very sudden.
Yeah,
it was exactly like what happened with Tom. But yes, right. There are reasons. You've got to keep listening to the rest of the season to find out some of those
right
reasons.
And you know, another good thing to remember at times like this in the story and even in real life with what we're talking about is, you know, we need to start out with faith that God is good and God loves us, you know, because if we look at circumstances of life and base our belief about God, you know, on those things, then we'll probably, you know, believe that he's not good, because sometimes it feels like that. So right. It's, you know, it's tough, because you don't want to just like kind of be flippant and kind of cut yourself off from emotions and how you feel by saying, oh, God's good, he's got it under control. I mean, look at Lamentations. I mean, there's a place for lamenting in life, the things that hurt.
There is a time to
right,
mourn
right.
And a time to...
But that doesn't mean that we're saying, you know, that God is against us, because that will never be true. So anyway, God makes things work out. He understands far beyond what we could ever understand. And that's good to remember in times when, you know, we have loss like this. All right, last letter. And we kind of covered this when we were discussing the episode. Tamika asks, why did you all decide to take Tom Richter off the show? Did he die in real life? And
no.
And no, we responded to that. Rodney, the guy who plays Tom, is doing fine. He was a little bummed that his character died. But he kind of understood, you know, the direction.
But he made it to the end of the program.
That's,
I mean, it's not like we killed him off in season 7.
Right, right, yeah. He made it to the last season of the show. That's true. Anyway, yes, he's doing great. He's doing fine. And, I'm not going to say any more, because I don't want to give anything away. But, yeah, Rodney's doing fine.
Yes, we might even have Steve take a microphone out and pick up some Rodney.
That's
somehow,
what,
just
yeah.
to say hi to you guys.
That's what I was thinking. You know, it would be great to kind of pull him in for an interview, which I think we could maybe do that in the next couple podcasts, and that would be
Woo.
Cool. Yeah.
Write that down.
All right. Well, whew, that was a big mailbag.
That was a big comment section. We love it.
Yes.
We love
so
hearing
thank you.
From you guys.
Thank you for your involvement in the show as a listener. That's so great. And if you want to you know, comment in the future, and you hear this podcast and you always go, yeah, I want to write or I want to call, but I always forget the contact info. Well, I'm going to give it to you one more time. Our toll-free comment line is 877-937-5397. And when you call, make sure you keep your comments, you know, short, like under a minute or so. And
but clear.
Speak very clearly.
Once you get it recorded through the phone and then we put it into the podcast, you need to speak very, very clearly.
Right. So speak up and keep it short, and that would be great. You can also email us at ccfuncast@gileadlane.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can go right to the blog and just comment on the review threads that are there. Again, that is funcast.gileadlane.org.
There you go. Okay, so that's the end of our mailbag segment, but we did have something else that we were going to share with everybody, didn't we?
Yes. We forgot to do this in the last podcast, but we want to make this a relatively regular feature in these season 12 podcasts, reading out of the story Bible, the Gilead Story Bible, where we have character profiles and all of the backstory on all of our main characters. And there is something I think that you have, Lori, right, that's relevant to this episode.
I do. I have something that's kind of relevant to this episode, and then something else that's just kind of some random throw-in information that I still think that you'll like.
Cool. All right. Well, hit us.
Okay. Well, somebody had mentioned somewhere in one of the comments on the blog or in some sort of comment that we had gotten that it was pretty random to just throw in there that Tom's dad had also died of a heart attack.
Oh, right. The hereditary thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not random. The Gilead Bible is before Steve and before me.
Right.
And it is in the Gilead Bible. In fact, this line right here. However, Thomas's father died of a heart attack the fall that Tom was 26.
There you go.
So it is there. We took it from our reference point.
Yes. And yeah, like Lori said, that, you know, most of the entries, especially of the, like, you know, original main cast, were written, before we even cast everybody. So it would have been like 99 or early 2000. Mm-hmm. So, and then what else did you have? Were you going to read like somebody's backstory or something?
Well, what I was going to read here is we have a Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Richter Jr. episode, which would be Tom and Monica. We've got a little a backstory here.
Uh-huh.
Once Tom's mother realized Tom's determination to go after Monica Ferris, she tried to find out what there was in Monica to publicize and celebrate. If this girl was going to be her daughter-in-law, she would do what she had to do to make her a princess worthy of the Richter family. So she latched onto the fact that Monica was an independent, strong, beautiful woman, especially the beauty part. And Monica had actually made her way through college in 3 years.
Oh.
And yes, you can hear the jingle bells in the background. It's not Christmas. It's my dog, R2-D2. Just Mrs. Richter saw that a shrewd business mind was in Monica and recognized that in her and decided to work on that. So, so she actually put Monica working with the firm for a while.
Interesting. Yeah.
She worked with Richter Investment Firm up in the city.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years later, Tom and Monica were wed.
Okay. Interesting.
Oh, that's what it says. Yeah. So there's some very interesting stuff. In fact, there's a big thing about a fight in here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A fight between who?
One May night during the first year of their marriage, Monica and Tom had a tremendous fight. She didn't know why he was acting so funny, like he was going to have a breakdown. His mother was in town at the time, but she was in another part of the house because his mom moved in with them.
Ah.
I mean, you want to know why Monica is so wacky? Your mother-in-law moved in with you the first year you're married. Come on.
Right, right.
So,
well, it's interesting. We alluded to tension, you know, between Monica and the mother, mother-in-law, I should say, in our long Christmas special that we did, I don't know, about 5 years ago probably. And it was all about, you know, kind of touching on the backstory of the Morrisons and the Richters kind of in a specific kind of like episode of their life. But yeah, that was, we alluded to that tension between the Monica and her mother-in-law. Go ahead.
Yes. And the argument, as it turned out, it was the anniversary of the night of the accident on Gilead Lane.
Oh.
It was the 10th anniversary of that night, and it was the first year of their marriage.
Interesting. Okay.
So there you go. And, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, the Gilead Bible, there's like 5 more pages on Mr. and Mrs. Richter before we even get to Caleb.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty detailed. Pretty detailed stuff. So, there you go.
Yeah,
So that is our little featured moment, our little spotlight on the backstory, the Gilead Story Bible, which is kind of our source material whenever we are developing stories. We kind of take a look and see, is there anything that we can pull from this that can give, you know, another layer of depth to a character? Or, you know, is there anything in here that this tells us that should steer us away from, you know, a certain storyline that we're thinking about? So anyway, somebody asked if we were ever going to publish that, and I don't know. I don't know that we ever will.
I'm not sure that it's ready to be published. It's ready to be our information, but I'm not sure that it's ready to be published.
Yeah. So we just have a few minutes left here in today's podcast, and thank you everyone for sticking with us, because we had a lot to pack into this podcast. But I think I've found some audio here from the brainstorm meeting that we were kind of alluding to back when so just a little bit of kind of insight into kind of how we were thinking when we were planning Respect the French Toast.
So they're, like, out for a walk, okay? Like, and they're, like, I don't know, maybe on this country lane. Maybe it's Gilead Lane or something. And Caleb is trying to say I love you, okay? He's, like, really nervous, you know? And this may not be consistent with where we want this couple to be maturity-wise, but he's trying to say I love you, and he just keeps getting choked up, and he finally gets to the point of saying I love, and there's a big pause, and she's like, yes? And he looks up, and he's like, oak trees. Yeah, I love oak trees. It's beautiful, you know. And then at the end of the episode, they're looking at each other's, they're looking into each other's eyes, and they and he says, "I love," and she says, "oak trees," and that's their thing. "I love oak trees" means "I love you."
It's the catchphrase. It's the inward. It's a ghost. Ditto. Remember that,
yeah.
Lori?
Yeah, yep. Ditto. Yeah. It's like
my
that.
Actual thought is it will probably be something. So I don't have to rewrite the entire outline. They have their moment at sunset. It's called Sunset Girl, right?
Sunrise
Girl. Okay, you know, if they're there and the that's the only time we're going to have Carrie and Caleb alone, but they're alone in a crowd of people. But that's the moment for the deep emotion and the deep conversation.
Okay.
He could pull off something like that, and if you guys...
Yeah, Terry just said scrambled eggs. I love scrambled eggs.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, I was thinking like French toast or something like that.
So there you go, huh? How about that?
There's more. You can't get much more behind the scenes than that.
There you go. And then, of course, we in that same brainstorm meeting, we also discussed episode 6, Making the Most. And so here's a little bit of background on that one.
We need to be careful with that we're not, you know, tipping our sleeve. Or whatever that phrase was.
Tipping your hand or something.
Yeah.
Or tipping, they're tipping the boat. Or maybe it's tipping the waiter. But wait a second. I think that's it. This is a personal thing. I think I could really dig into this one and find a gem here. Because part of the thing I love about writing is what you discover. But one of the things is, I'm always waiting for, it seems like I'm always waiting for things to be perfect. You know, when I get that raise or when I get that project, everything will come into it, and then we can do this, and then everything, it'll be just great when we can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm so much shoving off out to the future when everything is lined up perfect. You know what? Not everything's going to line up perfect.
Yeah.
And how do we make the most use of today? You know, God says to, it's along the phrase of make the most of every opportunity, for the day is evil. It's just like making the most of what you have now. It's great to look forward to the future, but don't let it rob you of today.
Jen?
Yeah.
That is our office verse for the year.
Ephesians
5:15-17.
Oh, that's so cool. Make the most of every opportunity?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's really cool.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Yeah.
Making the most of every opportunity for the days are evil. Wow, that's good. Oh, redeeming the time. Oh, that's...
Time. Ooh, that's it.
Whoa, I like that. Ooh, that just speaks... Yeah, I can't wait to see what I'm going to learn from this.
All righty. Hope that kind of enhances the experience for you.
Listening experience when you go back and listen again and again, because I know people are listening to these episodes again and again. They've posted
I'm sure.
that they are. So
Yes. And so that just about does it for us today. Don't forget, coming up this weekend, 12:07, Famous Last Words. Ooh, you're not going to want to miss that one, right, Lori?
No, you're not. It's pretty powerful.
It is. And, of course, you know, Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we'll be back to discuss the next two exciting episodes in this amazing season of Down Gilead Lane. Until then, I am Steve-O. See you later.
I am Lori, and every day needs a continuity director.
Oh, that is so true. I'm going to go look for mine right now.